First reading is from 1 Samuel 15, verse 1 through 3, and then we jump to 7 to 9. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel, so listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and the lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. So the second reading, we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. A living sacrifice. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Here ends the reading.
Today's gospel comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbors yourself is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the gospel. Lord, we thank you for bringing us here together, Lord, a chance to worship you together in community, to get to know each other better and to know you better. God, we just ask that you would bless this time and bless these words as we offer ourselves to you today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you visualize sacrifice, I guess I sort of go to Hollywood or something, Indiana Jones, and you see all these people just with the guard, a volcano in the background, right? And then we got this animal that they're slaughtering, and they're just trying to appease the gods, right? You know, that's one version of sacrifice. It's common to many cultures throughout history, and even today, that sacrifice. There is meaning to it. People were trying to earn favor with the gods, I suppose that's it, in many primitive cultures. They wanted rain for their crops. They wanted victory in warfare, things like that. They wanted that favor. And if they fell out of favor with the gods, well, then bad things would happen. So they had what we call their volcano gods, right? They're trying to satisfy. They're trying to appease them. Well, in the Old Testament, the Jews, of course, had sacrifice too. But it was a little bit different. This was laid out explicitly in Leviticus by God there through Moses. The rules that they had to follow, the regulations for sacrifice. There were certain procedures that had to be done. Certain animals could be sacrificed in certain ways only. So God was big on sacrifice. This served a number of purposes. You know, it paid for the sin and the guilt temporarily until the next sacrifice was needed there. And it also provided food for the priests. They got to keep a portion of it. They got to eat of it. And they got to keep the skins of the animals to sell them. So they had provision from that as well. Even some of the people bringing the offerings at times got to share in the food that was provided there. Well, you can just imagine all the blood and the flies and everything around the altar and stuff. It had to have been, at times, imagine a major feast when all these sacrifices are coming in with thousands of animals being sacrificed. It's just hard to imagine what that's like. And it couldn't be just any animal. It had to be one that was perfect, without blemish, pure, spotless. This video that we're going to see just here momentarily will show us a little bit on that. These animals were not your normal animals out of the herd. These were ones that had value. Sacrifices have to have value. You can't give your second best to God. This one sort of brings it alive. You get a mental picture when you're reading Leviticus, but this one really sort of brings it alive for us. For anybody that's listening online, you can just type into YouTube a brief review of sin offering in Leviticus 4 and watch this video at home as well. All right, that video clip, good in a couple of ways. First of all, again, it helps us to visualize what it was like back then, how the priest was dressed and everything like that. You know, that's probably not the way I had seen it in my mind, but it sort of brings it to life. And also we find out that that lamb had additional value. It wasn't just one of the best out of the flock. It didn't just have that monetary value. This was something personal, something that they had taken care of, that they had provided for, maybe even the kids had named. Sacrifice is something personal that we give to God. It's an act of love. Given willingly. Sacrifice today. Well, the Jews don't sacrifice since the temple was destroyed in AD 70, but if they ever rebuild the temple, yes, they're going to restart the sacrifices. A number of them are set on that. But are there other types of sacrifices in our lives? Where do you see sacrifice in life? What's an example of someone sacrificing? Our time, we give of our time for different things, right? Serving God or serving others. And our time is something that's of value to us, for many of us. We don't have much time. So we're giving something valuable to others. Seeking anything for ourselves? No. One of the keys. Where else do you see sacrifice? Examples. Okay, works that we do for God, for Jesus, absolutely. Serving others, that could be a sacrifice of our time and of our gifts and whatever else we have. We're doing it for the good of others. Again, not seeking anything in return. Other examples where you've seen sacrifice in life? Okay, giving up our treasures, absolutely. Our finances, we sacrifice that as offerings and tithes, absolutely. God's big on that. We also see it in society. You know, you got like people like Mother Teresa, they're just giving their whole lives for the benefit of others. You know, she's the one maybe that became famous, but how many hundreds of others are out there doing that same thing, never got the media spotlight, and are doing it right now? Pretty humbling when you think about it, right? That there's people right now out in the garbage dumps of India or Colombia or Mozambique, wherever, that are serving others, sacrificing their time. Medal of Honor winners, a lot of them involve sacrifice. Huh? You read the case histories behind them. Most of them do involve sacrifice, giving of themselves so that others can live. And maybe not even Medal of Honors, we got people like Jared and Andrew and Josh that are currently in the military, and they're giving sacrifice. For those that are married to military people, there's sacrifice there too. As parents, do you sacrifice? Getting up at 3 a.m. to feed the baby, can you tell us a little bit about that? Did you get any sleep last night, or did you get up last night? You did get a lot of sleep. You were blessed. Okay. You were blessed. But we've all been there, those of us that are parents. You do sacrifice a lot. Or immigrant parents that are just working in low-paying jobs so that their children can have a better shot at life, right? Sacrifice. They're not looking anything for themselves. They're looking out for their kids, for others. Or I think of my grandma. We would sit down at a chicken dinner, and she always wanted the chicken wings. Okay, thought she just liked them. Come to find out later on that, you know, having lived through the Depression, she wanted her kids to get the most meaty parts of the chicken, so she would always take the wings. She was sacrificing. Or marriage. Is there a sacrifice there? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to take one for the team, don't you? Right? Maybe your spouse has different hobbies or interests, but you'll put your own aside just to share in that with them. Or Maybe you got a spouse that will watch the kids extra and work extra so you can go to college and things like that. It is a sacrifice. It's appreciated. Or you might say in baseball, there's sacrifice, right? You got to sacrifice fly, sacrifice bunt, you know, given willingly so that others may advance, right? So that others may advance. All these things are commended. You know, they're honored in society by medals and by media attention, things like that. But each one is altruistic, right? They're giving of themselves willingly. An act of love given willingly, without pay. Except for maybe the baseball players. They get paid to sacrifice, right? And paid a lot, perhaps. Okay. So, in each of these, they put their needs aside willingly. It's not sort of like, okay, if I have to. You know, it's not that kind of attitude. It's done out of love. An act of love given willingly. So it's important to God. And what could be better than sacrifice, huh? It's one of the most honorable things you can do. But there are things that are better. As Eric read this morning in 1 Samuel, it was actually a lead-in. It didn't say anything about sacrifice in there. But that was just the first part. Sort of like we're waiting for Paul Harvey now to come with the rest of the story, right? So let's visit that 1 Samuel and see what happens afterwards. Get the rest of the story. Okay, from what Eric read there, that God spoke through Samuel to Saul and told him to attack the Amalekites and totally destroy everything. Leave nothing. No people, no animals, no nothing. Saul and the armies, they attacked and destroyed them, but they speared Agag, the king, and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. All right, so then the word of the Lord came to Samuel later on and said that, hey, Saul didn't carry out my instructions. You need to go talk to him. So Samuel gets up and he hunts down Saul, finds him eventually. Saul's out somewhere building an altar to himself, it turns out. There's some other things going on here. And Samuel reached him and said, hey, what's this bleating of sheep and lowing of cattle I hear in the background? You could hear the animals. Weren't they all supposed to be destroyed? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. All right, so they took the best of them, set them aside, and sort of kept them. Were they going to sacrifice them? Maybe. Maybe not. We don't really know. But were they following God's instructions? No. But they were doing something honorable, right? They wanted to sacrifice. Does the end justify the means? They didn't follow orders, huh? Yeah, where God's concerned, he tells you to do something. Even if it doesn't really make sense to you, you need to listen, right? You need to follow through. Alrighty. So he said, why did you not obey the Lord? To which Saul replied, but I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Here's the key. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. So as much as God values sacrifice, and he does, obedience is ranked higher. And then Samuel continues, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. So Saul fell out of favor as a result of this. Again, maybe the motive of the intent was good. He wanted to sacrifice to God. But God valued obedience even more. We find other examples of that in the Bible as well. There in Proverbs, you know, you got those just nuggets of wisdom, right? In one or two sentences, it says so much. Proverbs 21:3, to do what is right and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. So being obedient, but doing what's right and just as well, doing the right thing in any situation. It's showing your heart, right? That your heart is following God. In Matthew, two times with the Pharisees, Jesus says, go and find what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Desire mercy and not sacrifice. I was referring back to Hosea. If you look at Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God, rather than burnt offerings. So that mercy, showing compassion and love to others, God values that. We know that as Christians. But even more than sacrifices, he values that. It's an incredible thing when you see people doing that. In the gospel today, to love God and your neighbor is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. To love God and your neighbor, more important than any or all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So that's what we're called to do as Christians, right? To love God and to love our neighbors. That's not a new idea. It's back in the Old Testament. They're saying that too, right? The greatest commandment. Finally, in Romans 12, Eric read, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. So offering ourselves as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, right? Most sacrifices were dead. This is a living one. This is your life. And my translation says, not just physical, like others are, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, as a spiritual act of worship. Not just physical, but a spiritual act of worship. Your very spirit given to God. So a living sacrifice, what does it look like? Those things that were more important than sacrifice, right? To be obedient, to do what's right and just, to show mercy and compassion and love, to acknowledge God, to love God and your neighbor. A living sacrifice looks like that. If you are living that, if you are doing that, you're making yourself available for God to work through you, for God to love through you, to the benefit of others. It's an act of love given willingly, once again, an act of love given willingly. God still values sacrifice. And a closing thought here, our God turned the tables. For thousands of years, people have been sacrificing to him. When he sacrificed himself for us, an act of love given willingly so that you may live. Live your lives in honor of that. Amen.